This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. The Shield, starring Michael Chiklis as Detective Vic Mackey, is the series that put the FX cable network on the map. The Sopranos had shot HBO to a new level by presenting a drama series where the central character was a cold-blooded killer. The Shield took the same approach, but with an even more sinister twist. Its cold-blooded killer was a cop, not a mobster. And in the pilot episode, he got away with murder. Murdering, in fact, one of his own. But Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, hasn't let that storyline die. All last season, and in the first episodes this year, The Shield has had Vic investigated by an internal affairs officer named Kavanaugh, played by recent Oscar winner Forrest Whitaker. Kavanaugh is sure Mackey has committed two murders. And even though Kavanaugh is right about only one, that gives their face-to-face confrontations an extra jolt. Who exactly is the good guy here?
You think I'm a cop killer? Maybe I am. You're a cop, right?
That sounds like a direct threat of my life, Detective. You know what that means?
It means you just stepped onto an entirely new playing field. For your sake. I hope you know the rules of the game.
Today on Fresh Air, we'll salute this long-running, still intense drama series by visiting with Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, and with actress CCH Pounder, who plays Captain Claudette Wims. We'll start with Sean Ryan. In addition to The Shield, Ryan is represented on TV right now by the CBS action series The Unit, with co-executive producer David Mamet. But years ago, Ryan wrote for a very different type of action show. Nash Bridges, the detective series starring Don Johnson. Terry Gross spoke to Sean Ryan last year, and he told her that Nash Bridges was more of an entertainment show than a realistic depiction of police work.
That was very much a hero show. So Don Johnson's character Nash, really couldn't screw up very badly. He always had to have the right intentions. You know, so if something went bad, it wasn't because any human foible of his caused it to go bad. And, the shows, ended happily. The crimes were always solved. And he was a straight up hero. And if there was any problem with Nash, it was that he just couldn't quite make whatever his current relationship with a beautiful woman quite work out because he couldn't commit. That, that was like the one big character flaw, quote unquote. It was a very successful show. It ran for 6 years, and that's the way that show needed to be for what it was. There was a hierarchy that, Nash was the one that needed to solve the crimes. He was the one that needed to swoop in at the last second. One of his underlings was never the one that, was the hero of the day and would save it. So it was those kinds of things, especially the intentions. These were cops to look up to, and they always had the innocent public's best interests at heart.
Okay, now you can't say that that happens in The Shield. I mean, some of the cops at the center of The Shield, particularly the star of the show, the character played by Michael Chiklis, I mean, he's not only corrupt, he's kind of sadistic. He really enjoys violence. He
has a few flaws. I wanted to write in the gray areas. I'd written a very black and white show for 3 years and been successful doing it, and the show was successful. And it was my job to service my bosses and presenting them with the material that they wanted, and I worked hard to do that. There were just a lot of sacred cows. For instance, on almost every TV cop show I'd seen in the 90s or in the late 80s, the heroes would be like the detectives, and the boss, the captain, would be a minority. And it was television's way of saying, well, we acknowledge that it's a multi-ethnic universe, but we're not going to sort of put them forefront. And additionally, our minority captain is going to be above reproach and, isn't going to have a bad quality at all. I looked at Edward James Olmos' character in Miami Vice. I looked at James McDaniel's character in NYPD Blue, Yaphet Kotto's character in Homicide. All these shows sort of had this thing. And so my first thing was, well, you know what? I'm going to have a minority captain, but everyone's going to hate him. and everyone's going to think that he's a quota baby that got the job, you know, because of his race, not because of his talent. And not everyone's going to look up to him.
You know, you're talking about trying to break the rules of some of the shows that you really admired. Now, in shows like Homicide and Law and Order, there's some like fabulous interrogation scenes, and you really admire how well these cops, how brilliant some of these cops are at interrogating. In the pilot, and excuse me for going all the way back to the pilot, but, you know, although I've been watching the series for some time, I never saw the pilot until last night on DVD. So it's really a brilliant episode. It's like maybe the best pilot I've ever seen. But anyways, there's three separate interrogation scenes in that, and each of them are really different. Each of them serves a different dramatic purpose and reveals something different about the person doing the interrogating. Would you just talk about how you used each of those interrogation scenes to do a whole lot of dramatic work?
Yeah, Homicide, like I said, Homicide really was my favorite show, and I was always impressed with their interrogation scenes, especially the ones involving Andre Brower's character. And really what I took from that show was that interrogation scenes in good dramas are about the detectives. They're not about finding out the truth of a case. They're not about just furthering plot. So I wanted to find out, you know, Dutch has a few scenes with this pedophile where he just goes along and sort of shows empathy for, you know, for how you can be attracted to young girls. And it showed the sort of gamesmanship and mindset that he was willing to get into to break this guy. And then we had, you know, a very sort of infamous scene with Vic Mackey, and another pedophile kidnapper near the end, and we saw just sort of how ruthless he could be. But those scenes were designed to get into the characters of our detectives and find out who they are, which are far more interesting interrogation scenes than just browbeating people until they tell you that they did it.
Well, yeah, and you know, Dutch, the cop who's interrogating the child molester, the first time he really gets into the guy's head, and he's basically saying, say, do you believe there's a gay gene? Do you believe that, like, people are born gay? Well, if people are born gay, maybe people are born to be child molesters, too. I mean, I understand what you're going through, and that's very effective. But then he does it again on another child molester, and the child molester's attitude is like, hey, I know the game you're playing, and it's not going to work on me. I'm smart, too.
Yeah.
And then the third time, like Vic Mackey, the Michael Chiklis character, goes in and just like beats the confession out of him. And the contrast between those three interrogation scenes is so interesting dramatically and in what they reveal about each of the characters.
Yeah, there's a time for each of them, I think. And you know, what I was really trying to get at is that, yes, it is tempting to resort to brute behavior at times, and sometimes it can be even effective. But is that what we want? And I never really try to take sides and sort of, you know, pick a side. But I wanted, knowing that at the end of the episode I was going to have Vic kill Terry. It's really
and just,
completely unforgivable.
Just to say who Terry is, for our listeners who haven't been following the story, Terry is somebody from Internal Affairs who was investigating whether these cops are on the take or not, whether they
were
corrupt.
He was on Vic's team and was actually trying to work undercover to take Vic and his buddies down. And what I wanted through the other story, through the interrogation with pedophile, is to see how it's tempting to give law enforcement people sort of unlimited power to do anything to solve these heinous crimes. Because there's a slippery slope at the end of it, because when you give them power to act on your behalf, don't be surprised when they take that power to act on their own behalf.
Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, speaking to Terry Gross in 2006. The show is in its sixth season now, coming off years in which Forrest Whitaker and Glenn Close, respectively, joined the ranks for season-long guest appearances. Here's the interrogation scene Sean Ryan and Terry were just discussing. Jay Carnes plays the detective named Dutch.
Here's your coffee.
When are you going to call about my mom's pills?
In a minute.
I got nothing to hide.
I know. Hey, tell me something. Maybe there's something wrong with gay people.
Something wrong?
In the head, you know, with queers. I mean, you think they got a screw loose?
I don't know.
Not so long ago, medical community classified homosexuality as a disorder, called it an illness.
Yeah.
Now scientists think maybe it's something genetic makes people gay.
So?
For booking. So, if God made them that way, who are we to say they're wrong for doing the things they do? It got me thinking. What if scientists discover there's a gene that predisposes some people to be attracted to young girls?
You think there is in some people?
Well, why not? And if scientists discover that gene, then, well, then maybe people won't think it's so wrong to have sex with underage girls.
Maybe not.
Forgot to call about your mom's pills.
When the pilot was accepted by FX, this was before Nip Tuck, it was before Dennis Leary's series was on the air, Rescue Me. And people weren't thinking, oh, FX, that's the real, like, happening network now for new shows. So was it hard to convince actors that it was a good idea for them to get started in an FX series?
Oh, absolutely. I can't, you know, there were actors that I had never heard of who refused to come in and read for the role of Vic Mackey, in all seriousness. And I was like, or it was an offer only. If you want to offer me the role, maybe I'll consider doing it. And I'm like, well, who is this person again? Have I even seen him in anything? I mean, who? And I know for a fact that there were agents who were steering actors away from doing this. I know that there was an actor that we were seriously considering for the character of Shane, who I know through back channel things that his agent essentially convinced him, you know, it's not worth doing a show on this network. And so that person never sort of came in for final consideration, you know, for the role. It was difficult, but in the end it turned out to be a blessing, because what happened was that we only got people on the show who desperately wanted to do the show. And there was an excitement and energy that I think really translated to the screen because of that.
Sean Ryan, speaking with Terry Gross last year. His series, The Shield, is now in its sixth season on the FX cable network.